Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 10 of the Questions Bar. This is the second episode of season two. And Alina and I, my co-host, Alina Z, and I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, we have opened it up to guests. So cheers to season two and welcome, Angelique Santana. We are so excited to have you here. We have some new thoughts and ideas for the Questions Bar. So let me tell our audience a little bit about you, and then I'll throw it over to Alina, and she can start asking you a few questions. So in season two, this is a brand new approach where we're asking three questions of our guests. So Angelique, you get to be the first person to just have this conversation with us. So team, guests, our audience, Angelique is a speaker, a coach, an author, and the founder of Eat with Angelique, the small business she launched after 15 years in the fitness industry. She went vegan for 28 days and lost 25 pounds while she was earning her Integrative Nutrition Health Coach certification from the Institute of Integrative Nutrition. This experience transformed her life and inspired her to start her own business as a personal chef. She has been transforming lives through food, mindset, and lifestyle choices ever since. And her mission is to guide people toward a healthy lifestyle, starting but not ending with the food they eat. She says, "I believe in guiding you toward a lifestyle you can actively live with without deprivation or sacrifice, a lifestyle that begins but not ends with the food you eat," as I just said, and she aims to bring love, joy, and ease to your life by customizing a plan that is just for you because nothing is more important than you. And her amazing book is Food is Love, so that's very exciting. This podcast goes out on Spotify, Apple, and iHeartRadio, in addition to my channels, Incandescent Radio and Incandescent TV. So we are so excited to have you here talking about love, food, life. So over to you, Miss Alina.
Yeah, so I'm so excited for you to be here, Angelique. And like Hope said, we are now switching to asking three questions we decided on because those three questions are the ones I need the answers the most. And even though I have my own answers, I want to learn from other people. And we all want to share because when we share, we not just multiply the three of us multiplying it by so much more than just three. And the questions are, drum roll. Okay. The questions are, how, can you talk about a miracle? How something happened and it was miraculous? Because when we think of history repeating itself, we can repeat good history. We can repeat, oh my God, remember that miracle happened to me before it can happen to me again. So we'll talk about miracles because it's not just one person who has a miracle. Everybody has miracles. We just need to remember them. The second question is, how do you love yourself when you don't look good, when you don't feel good, and you just, oh my God, life is crap. What do you do? How do you love yourself? And three, if you were in charge of the country, what would be the first thing that you did? Because maybe somebody in the government is listening. They'll think, that's a really good idea. You never know. You know that Justin Bieber was discovered on YouTube, okay? You never know who is listening. You never know who is going to get inspired. It's our job to do what makes us feel good, that serves the world, and everything else will, by divine timing, by divine hand, be where it needs to be. But we need to take our action, inspired action, and learn from each other and share. So Angelique, now it's to you.
Thank you so much for having me. These are great questions, great big questions. And I have them in front of me, so I'm going to go in order because that last question is very big.
And this is, by the way, no pressure. Like, this is just us talking. Like, I'm like, hey, Angelique, you know, yeah. I'm just, you know, we're all struggling mentally, emotionally, and that turns into physical. And like, how do we reverse it? So it's totally, yeah. It's not like there's no right or wrong. There's right. No pressure, you know?
Yeah. So I guess in speaking of miracles, and hard times, which Alina and I go way back, and she was there for every transition that I made from a previous life. You know, when I'm from New Jersey. I mean, I was born in New York. I lived in San Jose for 10 years as a kid and moved back to New York just before I turned 11. And in 2010, I got married and I moved to Florida, to Fort Lauderdale, which is where I met Alina. And almost 3 years to the day that marriage ended, it was dissolving, and it finally like fell apart. I have to believe in some way that, everything that happened leading up to that moment was happening for me. And I know we hear that all the time. It's happened for you, not to you. But it's so true. And if you can get through the suffering and on the other side of that, you'll see that it happened for a reason, even if you don't understand it. Because for me, I did not understand it. I was devastated. I didn't see it coming. And thankfully, I had the support of my family and of my friends, but I was also in the right place. Like being in Florida was the right place because I was already, in transition. Like you think, oh, you get married, that changes everything because now you, even though you've been partners, this marriage now turns it into something else. And I left the fitness industry. I accidentally happened to get a job at a place where they were, it was a prepared meal delivery service. Food was not on my radar, but I had been cooking, like for friends. And so I think the miracle is that if I had not moved to Florida, I wouldn't be where I am today. Period. And I wouldn't be in Florida without having gotten married and other things having, like, I was in Aruba where I got married. And while I was there, the garage to the building I lived in, which was underground, collapsed in the front of the building. So the building was fine structurally, but so when that happened, I had already started initiating, I think, a transfer to Florida, and so did she. And then that building covered our moving expenses to another one of their buildings in Florida, which we ended up not staying in. So it's like the ripple effect, right? Like you were just saying something like that, Alina, like you might say something and there's a ripple effect because somebody's listening. And if you're listening to what's happening for you, and it's not easy. I was suffering big time, and I was in, when I moved out and I got my own place and I had a roommate and I was just in a really dark place. And every day that I walked into my apartment, there's this like table where, you put your keys and stuff. And I just would walk in and I'd be like, I'd put my keys down and I would be like, it has to get better than this. It has to be better than this. Every single day I said that until it actually became better.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So, I think miracles are everywhere. We just have to, open our eyes and our ears and our souls, and just, connect, like being disconnected, I think is like the root of all evil. But, community and connection is everything. And without it, everybody has their people. And if you don't have those people and you have other people, then you might need to be like switching some people out.
Yeah. But it's amazing how you said that you had that structure safe, but the garage collapsed and then that helped you move for free, basically to Florida where you had to be. So everything just, Yeah, everything just happens if you believe. And I know, hope you don't know this about Angelique, but everywhere she goes, she would take pictures of hearts and she would see hearts everywhere. And exactly. And then behind you and hearts. And you have the tattoo. Yeah. Hearts everywhere and love is everywhere. It's just where you look at it and you can look at that collapse like, oh my God, I'm so unlucky. Or you can look at it. Wow. I'm so lucky that I get to move for free. And then
Yeah.
that leads me to the whole new me, the whole new you. Who you've become. And if it didn't happen that way, who knows where you would be?
Exactly. And I met you in Florida,
February 1st, 2012.
which was a real blessing, especially because in 2012 I did IIN and you were a chef and you were, a raw vegan chef, which was so fascinating to me. And of course, while going through the program, just kind of like met at a time where I was ready to do something different and I didn't know what that was. And coincidentally, when I was in high school, we went on a school trip in our like home ec class to the Culinary Institute of America. And I remember being there and eating in the dining room and it was like a open kitchen with, the glass and you could see all the students cooking. And I was enamored. I was like, I am coming to this school. And then, but I played sports and I wanted to play basketball and at the Culinary Institute of America, there was no basketball team. And so I went for traditional education versus culinary. And it's full circle how I ended up in this place, not going to traditional culinary school. Like I did for 3 weeks and realized I was vegetarian by then. I thought I could get through the meat stuff, but I learned very quickly that that was not going to be possible. And, it's a big investment. And so I did have a coach, Rachel Feldman, Alina. And I was talking to her and she was like, but do you really need to go to culinary school? And I was like, yeah. But then while I was there were a lot of signs that were telling me that I didn't need to be there. I had previously done a raw chef certification at Living Cuisine, a place we used to eat at. And so, again, it's just like a life full of miracles, like in the second half of my life, And I'm so grateful for every single bit, even the bad parts, like even the parts we identify as not good, Like you have to be. Well, you don't have to be, but I am grateful for the challenges because, they made me wiser and stronger. And I just have been gifted by so many beautiful people.
And also think that it's a miracle too how we met because I wasn't, it was my first time at that confessionals and it was your first time too, I think. And we just met at that particular time when we became friends. So it's like little things like that. It's miracles how you
Totally.
meet, how life just takes you from one step to another and not giving up.
Kismet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I interviewed another woman today for another one of my shows for our Empowered Together Network. That's how Alina and I connected. We're the co-founders with Cynthia DeLorenzi and Eva Ross of this international women's networking group that's moving and growing and trying to make change by encouraging people to realize that they're not alone. Right. So
Right.
this woman who you will meet, Andrea Walton, she her book is From GED to MBA. And she grew up in the, she has a nonprofit called the Concrete Rose Foundation, where she's giving Black and Brown girls money so that they can go to school. And she's based here in, I'm in DC. She's at Howard University and at the university, in South Africa, and just really bringing these women together. But like you just said, she said the exact same thing. You can't give up. You have to just keep going when I asked her that question. So it's really amazing to me how women just keep it together. We just keep putting one foot in front of the other, come what may. And clearly, not every woman does this, but the ones who are guiding the light are being the guiding light, right? So I love that you've said that and you're couching it in like, this is your miracle. I have a question about that. I want to hear more about your book before you get to question two.
Okay. The book is The Food is Love. There are no rules in food and love. And I was part of a mastermind, and the woman who ran the mastermind actually was my client and then invited me to join her women's meetings that anyway. So I was with her for years, and you know, Mina, right? Alina, Mina,
Mina meetings. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Mina meetings. And I was in this mastermind, and my goal specifically was to grow my business. And I had accomplished that, and it was a 6-month mastermind. So I had accomplished that, I think, in the first 3 months. And so then she was like, okay, Angelique, what's next? And I was like, I don't know. And she was like, I think you're ready to write a book. And I was like, what? You know, imposter syndrome sits in, and it's like, me, write a book. You know, I didn't go to culinary school, blah, 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 blah. All those limiting beliefs, right? So I was like, okay. And I started thinking about how I got to where I was and what a great story that would be, you know, with the feedback of every other woman in the group, right? And so then I just started outlining what that would look like and running it by them. And then we used to have dinner together because it was an evening mastermind, and we would, or, you know, she would order food for us. And of course I was the only vegan in the group, and she was very mindful about making sure I had options, which I so appreciate. And I was talking to her assistant, Romaine. Okay. Romaine. And I was like, you know, I don't know, whatever the conversation was, but I was like, you know, if you really think about it, food is an expression of love. Like, who doesn't love, you know, I mean, if you don't like cooking, that's a whole different story, but like, who doesn't love serving people? Even if you didn't make the food, you ordered it, you put it on, you know, you do all the things. And it's just like, it's just how we show love and appreciation for people. And so that's how the title came up, you know, Food is Love. And then I just, like, I have this thing about rules. I have a thing about even recipes and like following them. Like, first of all, no one likes being told what to do. And I am not, and I know Alina, you know, we come from this IIN where the philosophy is that, you know, we're more about crowding out, which means we're going to not take anything away from you, because no one likes restriction, like you mentioned in the bio, but anyone can add something to their diet that they're not already getting. And so what is unique about my position as a vegan chef is that I was vegetarian when I started. I still cooked animal proteins for my clients. And then I remember I started this in March of 2014. And I want to say by December, I was over it. I was like, I was home for the holidays in New Jersey, and I was like talking to my family, and I was like, yeah, you're right, I'm just going to do it. So I sent an email to my clients saying, you know, I'm no longer going to be cooking animal proteins, and, you know, and I thought I would lose clients, and I didn't. And again, none of my clients were vegan, and none of them are still. I think I had one guy who, John Bruno, he was vegan. And so that's kind of how the no, there are no rules in food and love came about. Because there are no rules, right? Like, people are, you know, unconsciously making choices for themselves about who they love, about the foods they like or don't like. And, you know, for my book, you know, I even say, like, I encourage you to modify these recipes. And I was getting pictures all the time from people like, oh, I made your eggplant stacks, but the cheese is not vegan. And I'd be like, great. I mean, you're eating eggplant and you probably, when's the last time you ate eggplant? You know? And so I think that inspired me to kind of share the stories of my clients. And that's what the book is full of. The book, it's in four parts. And I'm writing book number two, which is also four parts. And so it was like, love of yourself, love of each other, and love of family. And then the last part was all my love. So I have a little part in the book also where I just kind of talk about, I don't know, whatever. Food is as an expression of love and how much joy cooking for people brings me. You know, like I said, in New Jersey, I started cooking and I've been in restaurants. Like I worked in restaurants, but I never cooked. I did in the first restaurant. No, sorry. The first restaurant job I had, I was a hostess. But when I left fitness to go into restaurant management, they put me in the kitchen for 4 weeks. So that was culinary school. I was in prep. I was on the line. I was on expo and I was in, front of house. So I had the whole experience. But before that, I loved going out as a form of entertainment to eat. It was like my jam. If the kitchen was open and I would just be, it was like a spectator sport. Houston's was my favorite restaurant at the time. And I loved their style of service. I was obsessed with that place. Yeah. And
That's so
so,
awesome.
yeah, I mean, that's like the long story short of the book. And, just telling, I first started cooking for people like singles. So love of yourself. And I was so like, I'm so proud of people who do that, right? Who, like Mina was one who's like, I said that if X, Y, and Z happened, I would hire a chef. And she finally did it because actually she was coaching my first client, Dr. Patty. They're going to hear their names on this. And, then, cause she told Dr. Patty, you need to get a chef. Like you're busy. And she was eating out all the time and it just wasn't well for her. Right. And it was frustrating and, all the things that come with eating out. And so once she heard Dr. Patty talk about it, she, got into it. And then, like every referral I've ever had was word of mouth. Like I've never advertised, Alina has recommended people to me and my clients have recommended people to me. So I started cooking for singles, then families. And I remember I had a reading. I don't know if you guys are into psychic stuff, but
100%.
I had a reading and the woman said, something about cooking for a family and teaching. I'm like, yeah, no, I have no clients. There's nothing on the radar. And then I got a phone call. I don't know who it was that referred this family to me in Boca, but Alina had referred me to work with Susan at Apura, and I was already working in Boca. And then this family thing came up. So more miracles, right? Like these are just all miracles. And then as part of the mastermind that I was in, there was a woman there who her goal was to start hosting retreats. And my goal was to start cooking for retreats. And so we did it. And she hired me to cook. And again, no one's vegan. They don't even know what the food's going to be like. They just know there's going to be a chef. Not one complaint, not one. And it's just so amazing, And so that was, love of each other, sharing with other people. And then of course, again, all my love. And that's how the book came out.
That's awesome. There's so many miracles. Like you keep saying, I'm thinking if that didn't happen, that wouldn't happen. This wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
And last time we talked with Jen and I mentioned that for some reason it stuck with me that I gave you the cheese sandwich because you'd never had vegan cheese for whatever reason. And you're like, oh, I'm going to try not doing this for a week. And then like it's been 13 years. And it's one little thing that makes you go, oh, why not? And then that creates a chain of events. But you know what? I didn't want to interrupt, but I wanted to tell you something really cool, kind of disturbing, but cool at the same time. I read this study, and you can Google it. It's rats in water, which is really sad that they do animal experiments. But what they did, they put rats in water, and the rats would start drowning after 15 minutes. And so what these scientists decided to do, they would rescue the new batch of rats right before they were drowning, like at 14 minutes or whatever. And then they would let them dry off and put them back in the water. And they lasted for 60 hours. From 15 minutes to 60 hours. That's 36 times more, right? 36? No. 360 times more? 60 times 4. Yeah. 360, no, 240. 200, but a lot, right? 240. But a lot, like huge percent, right? And it's when you, how we, what you said, like women were so resilient, we just keep going, keep going, keep going. And I feel like our podcast and talking about this is the torture less experiment, where instead of, hey, just before you're going to give up, somebody's going to rescue you, we're going to share our stories, how we didn't give up and we kept lasting and we kept lasting and this happened and this happened and this happened. And then other women can hear it like, oh my God, Angelique did not give up after this, and she didn't give up, and Alina didn't give up, and Hope didn't give up. I'm not going to give up. And so it just made me think of that when you said how women were just so resilient because of each other, because of what Angelique said, also because of the community. And you see somebody else going and they are succeeding, and you're thinking, well, I can do it. If I believe and I trust and it feels right in my heart, then it will work out somehow. So,
yeah, I mean, you got to have the faith. And I will say that I had zero faith, and until I started dropping my keys on that table and saying it has to get better than this. And then as it started to get better, I had more faith that it was going to continue to keep getting better. Mm-hmm. And just to your point, Alina, about how resilient and hope women are, people can be very resilient. And it is the meaning behind there's nothing more important than you. There's nothing more important than me. And I say that primarily for women because I serve mostly women, and I see them struggle so much with food, and not just for themselves, but like for their families, and or how to feed themselves while feeding their families. You know, like if you want to do something different than what everyone else is doing, or how can you make it work for all of you? And so I help guide women through that process of, you know, how to feed themselves while also caring for others. And I do it here because I'm the only vegan. I moved home to help take care of my mom. And, you know, my brother moved out of his house. My sister moved out of her apartment, you know, and we're all in this house together as, you know, we're a community, but we're also a family. And it does, it takes a village. And if you are not using your voice to speak up and share what you need, no one will ever know. And you're going to be suffering silently, just dying, you know, sometimes just metaphorically and sometimes actually. And that doesn't serve anyone at all. And I know how hard it can be because I've been there, and I don't say anything to anyone that I have not experienced myself. And I think that's really important. And I think for everyone who owns their own business, and you both may identify with this, is that we are our own clients. Like, we became the people we needed, and that's how we got to where we are today. And that's why we do what we do. I know that is true for me.
Yeah.
And I think community is, it's so big, you know. Being alone, it sucks. Mm-hmm. And if you think you're alone, I guarantee you are wrong. Like 100% wrong.
I love that. And I want you, I think I'm going to back you up a little bit. You and your entire family live together now. We have to have them all on talking about what that's like. Because, I mean, Alina and I keep playing out what's going on in the world right now. Like, I wanted you to talk a little bit, maybe as you answer question three about this potential food shortage we're to embark on, right? Especially impoverished communities, rural communities, fringe communities, you know, they're already in food deserts and now, you know, they may have not have access to food.
It's
Scary.
tragic.
So we're going to have to keep unpacking some of this, but I'm going to guide you to question two, which is, how do you love yourself even when you think you don't look or feel good?
Well, that's a great question, and I definitely have experience. When I met Alina, so I'm a former athlete and a gym, I worked in fitness, health and fitness for many, many years. And when I was in Florida, I found myself 50 pounds heavier than I'd ever been in my whole life. And I don't even know how I got there. Now, like when I got to that place, I didn't know how it happened. Now I know how it happened, and I understand the meaning behind how unhappiness becomes unwellness, right? How you become unwell is by ignoring all the signs. And I don't mean just in relationships, although I feel like that's where they begin. Like if you're alone, there's loneliness, and it just depends on how you like process and interpret this stuff. But I have to believe that in some way my relationship was unwell and I became unwell through it. And I'm not blaming anyone, because I take full responsibility for that, because I'm responsible for myself. And when I started IIN, I was being enlightened. I really like Elena, who introduced Alina and I, recommended IIN. And I was like, I don't know, I'm in this, I was in a project management program at the time, and I was like, it doesn't finish until November, and this starts in January and like whatever. And then I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do it. I was looking for what, I wanted to combine my passion for food and fitness. And I felt like that was the sign to do that, to take that route. And oh my God. I mean, talk about enlightened. I learned so much there that I had, I hadn't been exposed to any of it. Deepak Chopra and Chris Carr and, Neil Barnard and like all these people who are doing like so many great things that I forgot about. When I was in college, I was all about, like setting up holistic health fairs, and we had all the people there. And I forgot about that experience until then, until IIN, and then I thought, this is definitely where I want to be. I want to be doing good for people and for myself, because obviously going through that helped me. And then I did the 28 days. It was like a mostly raw vegan. But Alina's right. Like I met her, and I had a previous experience with Matthew Kenny, who was a raw chef here. And he had a cafe in New York, not far from the gym that I was working at, Equinox. And I was approached by the guys running it, and they were like, so we did a little barter thing, and we gave them gym memberships in exchange for member appreciation, like meals or for my team during, the last 4 days of the month kind of stuff. And I was like, this is extraordinary. Like the lasagna was so, it's zucchini lasagna with like macadamia nut, parm,
Ricotta.
I don't know, cheese,
Oh,
right?
yeah, it
And
was like a
then like,
macadamia ricotta.
and then the ricotta, right? And then like sun-dried tomato marinara and the basil like pesto. And I was just, I could eat that every single day. And I thought, oh, you're going to go out. I bought all the books and all the equipment. And then reality set in and I was like, there's no way I have any time for this. But when I met Alina and I had that experience of her food, I was like, see, this is really good. Like, I could totally get down with this. And I didn't at first, but then a couple of, you know, well, months later, right, in August, I 28 days. And it's funny because my partner at the time, Alina, was talking about this like 1 week fruit cleanse, you know, and she did that. And I was like, I was so like, you go do it. I'm not doing that. Like,
look at
I'm
you
not
now.
I'm looking at you now.
And then, by the way, for those of you who don't know, IAN stands for Institute for Integrative Nutrition, because
yes.
We didn't mention it before. But it's a great school, and Angelique and I went there. I went there with Yelena. I think we met in the last class.
Oh, yeah, in New York.
In New York, yeah, we were the last class, and then it was all online.
Right.
So highly recommend it.
I love that. I love how you're bringing all of your chef friends together and all of your like-minded friends, and it sounds like your circle is vast and how you've all come together around food. And Alina, you usually have the book that you wrote.
I have the book here now. I have the
Yes.
book here now so that it wasn't take, you know, I was doing some videos and it was catching on AI at my face. But yeah, it's really crazy. But Angelique, you didn't say how do you love yourself when things suck and when you gain
Oh,
50
yeah, I'm
pounds.
so
So
sorry.
you went on a tangent. We don't have that much time left. So I want to make sure we're mindful.
Right now, I will tell you that my saving grace is exercise. I make it a priority to work out as much as possible, like as many times a week as possible. Getting outside now that the weather is nice and going out for a walk, like a 2 mile walk that I have like a route for. And everybody knows it. Like if I'm overwhelmed, if I'm anxious, if I like there's something, you know, I have to remember that because I come from that background, like, and I have like a real passion for it. Just makes me feel so much better. And if I don't get it in, you know, enough of it in, oh, forget it. Like, I know the difference between getting it in, like getting the workout in and not. And
by the Angelique, not to interrupt, when is your birthday? Is July what?
17th.
What year?
71.
July 17, 71. Okay, I just want to look something up. By the way, doesn't Angelique look so much younger than she would be in chronological age? Like your biological age and your face is like 30 years old.
Yeah,
thank you.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that, how you move around to kind of move the energy and get the feel better, feel lighter as you
go
through your days. I think finding these solutions is critical right now. So
yeah.
I turned 61 on Tuesday.
Wow.
Today
Happy
is
birthday.
July 11th.
Yeah.
And every birthday I wake up saying, who am I today? What do I want for this year? And when I woke up on my 50th birthday, I'm like, I'm not going to be married soon. You know, I just knew after my 25 year marriage, it was time to do the next thing. I just had that feeling. And when I woke up on Tuesday, I thought, I'm just going to choose joy now.
Yeah.
Because when the big bad wolf bill was passed on July 4th, you know, it was really clear to me. Alina and I had been talking about this for months. What can we do? How can we stop this? How can we stop this anarchy from taking over this country that we love and that we admire, you know? And then I just, you know, we can't. There's nothing we can do. We have to, like, you know, what you resist persists. So I choose not to fight that battle anymore. And in my body, just like you're saying, it can't live in me, because what good will I do if I'm just trying to fight, you know, like the salmon that swim upstream? You just
exactly. Yeah. Now, I just want to say what you both said is interesting, because when it comes to self-love and taking care of yourself and loving yourself when you don't look good, you don't feel good, I think it's taking action, whether it's action going for a walk or it's action choosing joy. And I think the biggest thing to remember is you don't have to love yourself. You just have to take an action that's going to be very loving towards yourself. And then by taking that action, you will start loving yourself. Like, you don't have to push it. I'm going to love myself. You're just going to do something for yourself that will make you feel good. And then it creates a new cycle, new loop. That's how I see it.
And you want it to be authentic and real.
Yeah.
You don't want to have this facade of, because there's so many people out there just pretending.
Yeah.
And you don't want to, like, no one is expecting you to pretend. We want, like, the real deal. We want the truth. And we want to support you. And the only way we know how to do that is if you tell us the truth. And you could see it on people. I'm sure people could see it on me when I was unwell. And, like, you know, I just wanted better for myself, you know, and I did struggle. Like when I moved home, I was in great shape because I lived in Florida. I was working every day. I was busy. I had friends. I was socializing. Everything was great. And then it was like a dead stop.
Yeah.
You know, I came home and I had to, you know, adjust to this new life that I never thought would happen. And, you know, like I lost my dad in 2015 and then 2 years later, I mean, had he lived, I was going to come home to spend more time with him, knowing that, you know, his time is limited. We all know that, right? And so is this time with my mom. She's not dying, but we all are every single day, but she has Parkinson's and she needs help. And she, you know, she's bipolar also. And so, like, there were a lot of, you know, different things. And another miracle is that had I not moved home and I had not enrolled in this speaker community that I enrolled in, had I not done that, I would have not written the talk that ended up, like, started out as being about my dad, turned out to be about my mom and our relationship. I healed so much from that experience. And I'm still healing. Like, there's just, like, oof, so many things, you know, that you're just unaware of, like blind spots, you know, and I'm just so grateful. Like I could cry right now, but it's just, it's like the most beautiful experience, you know, that I didn't know I ever needed was to come home, to be with my family, to be with my mom and to, like, you know, support her through this process or whatever it is that she's going through. And, I think that, to love yourself is to be honest, like really be honest with yourself, which is a topic in the next book. You know, a lot of what we're having this conversation today, but, you know, being honest with yourself, like people know the difference. Like what makes them feel good and what makes them not feel good. And so we're not saying stay away 100% from the things that don't make you feel good unless they're a danger to you. But you do know, like, if you eat something or you drink something or participate in something that doesn't actually feel good to you, then we need to modify something. Like, there's a change that needs to occur, but it's your choice. Like, that's a choice.
Yeah, it's a very powerful message. And, you know, you said a couple of times, and I really hope people hear what you said, like, you take responsibility. You made your choices. It's you are your own responsibility. You're not blaming other people for what happened. You take responsibility for your part.
Yeah.
And I think when you take that responsibility paired with, it's got to be better than this. It's got to be better than this. And having faith and taking action. And that's the only way out. Taking responsibility, having faith, and taking action.
Yeah,
definitely. So on that note, if you were in charge of the country, what's the first thing what is the first thing you would do and why?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think there's so much to choose from. You know, if we're along the lines of, okay, so this bill, right? Tax breaks to the billionaires. And there's evidence, right? And, or what, well, like, we know that if those people with that much wealth that they do not need were.
And by the way,
to,
just to say that, yes, you don't need that much money because you can't buy everything. You literally don't need more than $999 million.
Right.
Like,
or,
everything else is. It's being psychopath. That's what Walton's family heiress said. And I totally agree with that.
Yeah. Or, you know, renting Milan for your wedding.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's like in the wrong direction. I think, you know, as a government, like if you have a responsibility to the people. And, you know, our founding fathers were not perfect. They knew they weren't perfect. That's why we have amendments. I am not a very big political person. You know, I think I didn't vote in my first election until I was like 30. Because to me, well, I was like one person and what difference could I make? But I know now better.
Yeah, a million
And
people think the same way, right?
yeah, exactly. And the thing is like we're a community of people in this world. And there's not one thing that doesn't happen because we're all participating. And if you think about, you know, political parties, obviously there's more than one, but there are the two mains. And again, that's a community of people. And that bill passing was about that community of people, right? And I think that I would like to see less suffering in the world. I know that we, like, one country can't do it alone, right? But that's like what NATO is for, right? They're a community of countries band together for the greater good of the people, for their people and the world. And there's so much that we could learn from each other, but instead we're competing, right? And I think there's enough room for all of us to be able to like succeed. And don't you want your people to thrive, right? If you're the leader of a country, you want your people to thrive because when your people thrive, you thrive. I think it's a leadership conversation, you know. You could be, you know, the president, you could be the governor, you could be the CEO, you could be the manager. It's all the same, right? You're responsible for other people. If you're a parent, you're responsible for other people, right? Because you have children or, you know, you have a family. I mean, we are all responsible for other people.
Yeah.
I am now responsible, play a role, a third, of taking care of my mom. If you have pets, you're responsible for other people or, you know, animals. And I just think that the main goal should be about everybody thriving and not just a select group of people. I don't know if that answers the question exactly, but, you know, I just think that if we were concerned about that, right? Like, why don't we start there and figure out how we can, you know, provide food for everybody that needs it. And good food, right? Like you know, this whole Monsanto conversation, which is now a Bayer company, which is still selling Roundup. And, you know, there are more sustainable ways of living. There are, you know, better ways of creating opportunity for people and educating them. You know, I understand the food deserts and things like that. And, you know, it's really tragic. I'm Puerto Rican. I lived in Manhattan. My grandparents and my parents both grew up in the projects. I lived there for 2 years when I first moved from California. Talk about culture shock. But I think that we have to understand that cheap food is cheap. It is not actually providing you with the nutrients
Well, it's
that
not
you
even
need.
food. A lot of it is not even
Right.
food.
It's not food, right? Bioengineered, if you see that anywhere. And I think that I love food shopping and I, you know, everybody used to call Whole Foods your whole paycheck, but I will tell you that as a personal chef, I have shopped for clients primarily at Whole Foods. And I've had clients say, can you go to Trader Joe's or can you go to like this other, you know, Fresh Market or something? I'll be like, I could do whatever you want. And I won't even say a word. But then when I come back with the grocery bill, it's more expensive than what I would spend at Whole Foods, you know? And I consider myself an amazing shopper. And also, I don't think it's that hard. Like, And I don't say that to be to diminish anyone at all. It's like a education point, I think, but there's so much that I didn't have any money when I was in Florida and I had to get my own apartment. I went to the farmer's market because it was available to me. I had a car and I could drive there, but that's where I did my grocery shopping. I went into Whole Foods for like quinoa or something, like things I couldn't get at the farmer's market or, what I could eventually get. But, there's just, like you gotta, I would, it's more about all of us collectively. And yes, there are going to be, wealth gaps, but they could be smaller. And I just think that, we need to take care of our own people and then, like take care of yourself so you could take care of everybody else. And I think that's like kind of the same principle that we could be leading with.
You know, I'm going to summarize it by, hey, government, can you please take all that money that the millionaires, billionaires owe you and give it to the farmers and everybody can get vegetables without any pesticides for free? There you go.
I love
Yeah,
it.
how about that? Like
That's it.
more regulation on, better practices
Yeah, I mean,
in.
I don't understand why, how hard is it to take money from taxes that somebody owes and giving it to farmers so people can eat food. I
Yeah,
think
well,
that's
they know
doable.
very well how to do that because they're taking it away from organizations
I
and,
know.
doing other things with it, which is so.
Yeah, I think, you know, and if I've actually never answered those questions, and maybe for another time, Hope and I will answer those questions as well. But I would say my first thing would be give therapy to everybody in the government so they can love themselves. So they can love themselves so much they want to love other people. That's what I would say. So they have peace in their hearts, so they know they're enough. So men don't need to compete with other men who has more money, and they will compete with each other who has fed the most children today for free.
Yeah.
And one will be like, I paid for 300 schools, and another like, oh, loser, I paid for 500 schools. And so everybody wins, but I feel like self-love and is the most important thing so people can start thinking about it. And eating good food is part of it. But I know we're almost out of time, so I wanted to
Yeah.
wrap it up soon.
And I have one final thought. So on my joy campaign here, and actually, one of my favorite people, Martha Beck, wrote The Joy Diet. So we'll be talking a little bit about that. So here's my thing. This is what, Andrea Walton and I talked about this morning. What is the one thing that we can do, right? Because we know what's happening and that we have no control over that. So I'm trying to reverse engineer this. So what is the one thing we can do that you can do, Angelique, that we can share with the world? One thought might be maybe you share your grocery list from Whole Foods.
I love
And if
that.
there's recipes that you might have, like two or three recipes that we can share out there, and the prices of what that looks like. Just, Andrea, she's raising money and she wants people to come together and fill backpacks, families to fill backpacks for these children that don't have it on their step to education. So I suggested that we approach churches and maybe a family from the church can, because she's very active in the Baptist church here in Northern Virginia. Maybe, and the children in the family can write notes to that student about what they wish for them. So we can create a community within a community within a community, and we can do it nationally, we can do it internationally, so that we can really just like be the change we wish to see, but one step at a time because there's barely anything else we can do than what we can do for ourselves, right? So turning capitalism around, right, to kindness. And I feel like to your point, how can we teach people to love themselves? But maybe the answer is we do it in community,
And by example, so people start competing with who is the most peaceful one, who is the kindest one.
I love
I'm
that.
more peaceful than you, right? But it's all, I said to somebody, I feel like it's all women's, it all starts with women, because men, if they didn't have women in the world, they would just sit around playing video games. But they want to get the hottest woman so they can procreate, right? And the women, when we don't feel safe, we want money because money makes us feel safe that we'll have future. And so if we make women feel safe, and everything is taken care of and women love themselves, then women will start looking at men, who is the kindest one, not who is the richest one. And then men will start competing against each other, who is the kindest. And that's how we start. But again, it starts with self-love, because then you are feeling secure in your core, and then you'll pick the kindest mate. You know, and I'm not being exclusive here, but gay people are the kindest people, nice people. They just want to be happy and they just want to love each other. Like, obviously not ever a problem. It's a white straight men, mostly white straight men, honestly. Let's call a spade, who are competing, who are doing this. You know, unfortunately, that's how it is. And it's because of insecurity from whatever, not feeling like you're good enough, you're not powerful enough, you're not sexy enough. So there's a lot of competition on that lower chakras, the root chakras of survival, sex and power and money. But, yeah, you know, when somebody is gay, they're like, oh my God, I get to love somebody? Like, I can be free? Like, that's completely like heart-based relationships, you know? Let me just love. Like, it's totally different vibration than what we have right now. So we need to change it. And I think the word gay actually came from gay being happy, you know?
Right.
So I want more of that. So that's why I said, you know, I was talking about a heterosexual relationship, because they're, I feel like, causing the most problems in this world. And that's where we need to put all our happy energy and love, and inspire them to compete on who is the kindest and who is the most loving.
Who's going to thrive in an environment where they feel like they need to protect themselves all the time and not be, you know, freely self-expressed and controlled? Again, no one likes to be told what to do. We all just want to be free and happy and loving. Like, we want those things, but it's just not, we're not all capable of that. You know, like, it's just not always available to us. And, you know, like you're saying, you know, loving yourself is very hard, especially, like, I remember not liking my voice or
you have the sweetest
hair.
Voice. Doesn't she have the sweetest voice? You're just like, so good.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, but at some point, like, that turned around and I was like, oh, I remember I left it like a, changed the voicemail message on my phone. And I was like, oh, I actually like my voice now. That's weird. Like, how did that happen? You know, but I don't know how you do that, Alina. Like, because so many people, like, you, therapy is great, because, you know, if you could get people to therapy, to get people to know that it's not a bad thing, and that it's a way of expressing yourself, that's an environment that is safe. Because I think safety is a, you know, safety is a, another.
Safety is the number one, you know, though, on the Maslow. Yeah. You know, you want to feel safe first. And and I feel like if you work on self-love, then it makes you feel safe.
Yeah.
Well, we'll keep talking about that.
Yes. It's a conversation that we have this podcast devoted for.
I also think that grocery list, you send that over and we'll publish
it. Yes, please.
Yeah. I want to say, to answer that question, is I do a monthly newsletter.
Beautiful.
And in the monthly newsletter, I'm talking about all kinds of different things, again, from my point of view and my experience, and sharing that with my audience. And I include a recipe every month.
Awesome. We'll get people to sign up for that. That will be fantastic.
And sounds sometimes awesome. It's a food recipe, and then sometimes it's something you can do.
Oh, fabulous.
Depending on what the topic is. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Angelique. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. I absolutely loved this conversation.
Thank
we
you.
Could be here all day.
Where do you live now? Where did you move to?
I'm in New Jersey.
Okay, so you're back.
Yeah.
You've got all back up.
Exactly.
North. Yeah, very good. Well, good luck to your family. And to
thank
your
you comments. So much.
Let's think about how we can bring that on, because it's the new way of living, right? We live in community and family
community.
First, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I know we would love to have that conversation. I know it's something that I'm really passionate about sharing. You know, I did my whole talk about my relationship with my mom and what she's been going through and how we came together to take care of her. And I love sharing her progress. A lot of my social media, I share about her. I do videos. All my friends are like, we call her Mama Sonia so that everybody knows her name. And she's like a more popular than me.
Oh.
I guess she should be, right?
Thank you so much for being here. We definitely will continue this conversation.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you all, friends, for listening to this episode, episode 10 of the Questions Bar, co-hosted by my dear friend, lifestylist, Alina Z in LA. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, founder of Incandescent here in Northern Virginia / Washington, D.C. So we look forward to talking to you again. Tune in every Tuesday at 2 p.m. So we'll talk to you soon. And if you have ideas and questions, send them along.